The Torah tells us that when Hashem asked Moshe to become the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe hesitated. He said, "What about my older brother Aharon? He's more than qualified for this role." Moshe did not want to hurt his brother's feelings. But Hashem assured him, "Not only will Aharon not feel jealousy or resentment towards you, but v'ra'acha v'samach b'libay. He will genuinely be happy for your success." In Yiddish, this is called to fargin, which loosely translates to wholeheartedly appreciating someone else's success. Hashem told Moshe, "Avetich farginen." There isn't a corresponding word for fargin in English or in any other language. Why? Because the quality to fargin is uniquely Jewish. It was handed down to us by Avraham Avinu. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Avos, "Komi shiesh biyado shloisha dvarim alalu mitamido shel Avraham Avinu." Whoever possesses these three characteristics is considered the disciple of Avraham Avinu. The first of these traits is ayin toiva, a good eye. A good eye means the ability to forgin another person's success, especially that of a sibling. To forgin is not always easy. Imagine seeing your sibling get into a school or a seminary that you didn't. Or watching your brother become wealthy while you struggle in business. Or seeing a younger sister get engaged while you're still searching for your basheret. But we can do it, because we have in our DNA the midah of Avraham Avinu. On Friday night, we bless our children in Simcha Lekim Kefraim Uchum Nasha. Why Ephraim and Manasseh specifically? Because they forgined each other. When Yaakov placed his right hand on his younger brother Ephraim, Manasseh did not protest. He was genuinely happy for his brother. As parents, we bless our children to emulate this quality. The greatest blessing for a parent is when their children get along and truly rejoice in each other's successes. Aharon HaKohen was the ultimate forgiver. He was overjoyed when Moshe was chosen as the leader of Klal Yisrael, even though Moshe was 3 years younger, and Aharon was more than qualified for the job. And with that, I'd like to share with you an incredible story. Reb Shraga Frank, a Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanter, was one of the wealthiest men in Kovenhorn in Lithuania. He owned a leather factory, and he owned a lot of real estate. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik. Every year during the month of El, Reb Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Muslim movement, would meet with his Talmidim, Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, later known as the Alter of Sabotka, Reb Yitzchak Petterburger and others, in the attic of Reb Shraga's house. Reb Shaul Salanter would say shmuzen and elaborate on his new philosophy of Musar. It was in that attic where the nucleus of the Musar movement took shape. In 1886, at the young age of 42, Reb Shraga Frank became deathly ill. On his deathbed, he told his wife Golda Frank to use his wealth to find four of the finest Talmidei Chachamim as sons-in-law for their four daughters. His fourth daughter married Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer, the Rav of Slutsk. He later became the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Cutler. His second daughter was engaged to Reb Aaron Bakst, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. While they were engaged, Reb Aaron Bakst, who had a very creative mind, was curious to see the manufacturing plant of the Frank family. When Golda Frank heard this, she wanted her daughter to break off the shidduch, because her husband told her to find the best Talmidei Chachamim. And here we have the chassan wasting his time looking at factories. When Reb Aaron Bakst found out that his future mother-in-law's heart was no longer into the shidduch, he agreed to break the shidduch, and the engagement was broken. Reb Aaron Bakst married a different girl and became a Rav in Russia. Eventually, Golda Frank's second daughter married Reb Moshe Motche Epstein, a big Talmud Chacham. Fast forward about 20 years, the Alter of Sabotka approached Reb Aaron Bakst and he offered him the prestigious position to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Sabotka. But Reb Aaron declined. The Alter couldn't understand. To be the Rosh Yeshiva of Sabotka in those days, besides being such a prestigious position, it also provided a steady income where most people struggled in great poverty. He offered him the position again and again, but he constantly refused. One day, the Alter of Sabotka pressed him. He said, "Reb Aaron, I understand you don't want to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Sabotka, but please tell me, why not?" And he said something so incredible. He said, "My ex-mother-in-law, Mrs. Frank, had me as a potential son-in-law. And then she felt I wasn't worthy, and she dropped me. Imagine if I become the Rosh Yeshiva of Sabotka, how much agmas nefesh it will cause her. How much regret will she feel that she made such a huge mistake? I can't do it to her, and cause an almana so much pain." Then he told the Alter of Sabotka, "Please take Reb Moshe Motche Epstein instead to be the Rosh Yeshiva." And so it was. The son-in-law Golda Frank took instead of Reb Aaron Bakst, at the urging of Reb Aaron Bakst, became the Rosh Yeshiva of Sabotka. Talk about the ultimate forgiver. What an incredible story of selflessness. Reb Aaron Bakst truly embodied the midah of Aharon HaKohen. Ra'acha v'samach b'libah. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.